Lecture 29, Paths to Socialism, the 1920s.
The focus of this lecture is the 1920s in Soviet Russia, in fact, in what became known in 1922 as the USSR, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, or for short, the Soviet Union, a name that partly reflected the reacquisition, often by force, of most of the former Russian Empire. This is a very important time for deciding the fate and the nature of Soviet life and politics. This was a time of heated controversy and debate within the Communist Party itself over precisely what would be the future shape and the nature of Soviet rule in politics, in social life, even in culture. Now, it's not surprising that this was a time of great debate, for in many ways, the 1920s in the Soviet Union was still a time of many alternatives, many choices. It was also a time of great crisis. In fact, this period began at the end of the Civil War with the Bolsheviks victorious, with a time of exceptional crisis. In a word, once the Bolsheviks finally won the battles of the Civil War, they faced the most horrific situation. For one thing, virtual economic breakdown. In fact, one Soviet historian, a communist, writing in 1926, described the breakdown that followed the Civil War as in his words, unparalleled in the entire history of humanity. This was extensive. In the countryside, there were disastrous harvests, partly due to war conditions, battles being fought on fields, but also peasants simply had a reluctance during the final year of the Civil War to plant, figuring there was no one to buy their goods, things were so chaotic and disastrous, and therefore, even when they could plant, they often planted only enough for their own selves and not enough to supply the cities. In some harvests, in fact, there were simply no harvests. Some areas, there were simply no harvests at all. And all of this added up to produce in certain areas of the country terrible famine. Famine made worse by epidemics, cholera and typhus in particular, leading to as many as 5 million deaths in 1921-22 from famine and disease. In the cities, industry was virtually at a standstill. Trade was virtually non-existent. And in fact, people who lived in the cities who had any ties to the countryside whatsoever, relatives, friends, as many workers certainly did, would simply flee the cities, which became increasingly depopulated, and many described them as looking like wastelands. Once the danger of the whites' return was over, another aspect of the end of the Civil War by 1920, another aspect of this crisis broke out, namely peasants and workers began to express their frustrations and anger with economic conditions that I've been describing, but also over the Bolshevik authoritarianism that I described previously, Bolshevik coercion. Massive peasant rebellions broke out throughout the country. Most commonly, these took the form of simply attacks on these grain requisitioning teams that the Bolsheviks and the Red Army sent out to collect grain for the cities and for the army. These teams were hated, and they were often attacked quite violently, and grain requisitioners often killed. But also, it went beyond this. In certain parts of the country, entire armies formed, some of them known as green armies, to distinguish themselves from both the White Army and the Red Army. These armies took up arms against the Bolsheviks. And their goal was not to restore the old order, to bring back the Tsar, to bring back the old landlord-peasant relations. In fact, many of these armies were led by self-proclaimed socialists or anarchists even. Their goal was to get the government, any government, the white government when it was there, but now the victorious red government, simply out of their lives. Let peasants control their own fate, and please don't bother them with new cultural laws, with grain requisitioning, with anything. Adding to the problem, and for Bolsheviks, as communists, as Marxists, this was even more serious, urban workers too began to protest. 1920-21 was a time of protest meetings, of demonstrations, even of open strikes. The main demands were, of course, food and clothing, for which workers were quite desperate, but also civil rights. A greater freedom of the press, for example. And some workers even began to demand the return of the Constituent Assembly and the creation of a broad socialist government, not just a Bolshevik government.